Take control, O Lord, for Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, a monk was traveling from village to village. As he was traveling, he wanted to teach people. He wanted to serve people. He wanted to heal people and share the wisdom that he had gained through meditation. Once as he entered a village, there were three young men who were noticing this monk. As he performed many miracles and as he taught very powerfully, the three young men were convinced that they want to become like him. And therefore, they approached him and they asked, "Teacher, how can we become like him?" So the monk said, "Well, you just have to follow me. Sometimes I will give you instructions. The other times you just have to observe me and then gain your wisdom. That's how I have become what I am right now." So the three young men decided to say goodbye to their village and family, and they followed him. And as they followed, they kept going from one place to another. It was a long time, long journey. And finally, they realized they are feeling hungry. But they didn't know how to ask the teacher. So they giggled between them. They whispered between them, saying, "We are hungry. How about our teacher? Doesn't he know that we are hungry? Doesn't he feel hungry?" The teacher realized something was going on. And then he asked them, "What's happening?" They said, "We are hungry." He kept quiet, he moved a little further, and then he asked them to pick two stones that they are able to pick in both their hands. So all the three people, young men, decided to take stones. But among the three, one decided, "I asked for food, but the teacher is asking me to take the stone. So why should I take a heavy stone? Let me take a pebble." So they took the pebbles, he took the pebbles and the others took the stone. And then when they reached a point, the master asked them to place these stones, what they are carrying, on a rock. He did some mantra, he said some mantra, and the stones turned into bread. So those who were able to carry the stones enough, they had enough food. But the person who was smart enough to carry only the pebble did not get sufficient. Later, they further went on walking. This guy had this hunger, and there was a point again the teacher said, "Pick up the stones." So he was very smart. He said, "Last time I took only a pebble, this time I'm going to take a huge stone so that I can have enough food." Then the teacher said, "Place it before the stone." Then he said a mantra. Then it turned out to be a meat that they cannot consume. They were a bit confused and they asked, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "Do you see the forest ahead? There are wild animals, and as we pass by, these animals will come and attack because they are hungry. So make sure to feed them with the meat that I provide." This young man was again disappointed. "I thought this stone is going to turn out to be my food, but it turned out to be the other food." They passed the jungle and they came to very close to a hill. Again the master said, "Take two stones." So both two disciples took the stones as usual. But this guy was over smart. He said, "I'll take one small stone, one huge stone. If the food turns to be for somebody else, then it's okay, I don't have to worry. But if it turns out to be me, for me, I'll still have sufficient to eat." Then as they started climbing, the master said, place this stone there. And then he said the mantra, and it turned out to be a footwear. Footwear, because they were climbing a thorny hill. And the master said, you need to protect yourself. While others were able to journey well, the smart person could not journey because he had one huge sandal and the other one a small sandal. St. John's Church is emphasizing on discipleship. And I was struck when Father Kevin was mentioning intentional discipleship. What a beautiful phrase. Intention. You need to have that intention to follow Jesus. And that's where today's sermon that I'm going to reflect upon. John chapter 3, verse 14 onwards, is always remembered for this famous verse, John 3:16, to remind ourselves that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Many times we pick this verse and place it out of context without reading within the context. If you read this chapter and if you wish to explore further and go home and read this chapter, it's a beautiful conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus seems to be a kind of believer in God, a Pharisee, somebody with great reputation and had some position in the temple in those days. He comes to meet Jesus. He comes in the night when it was dark. And the reason why he chooses the dark moment is because he doesn't want to compromise with his reputation. He is not sure whether the society will accept if he follows Jesus. But he is sure that whatever Jesus is performing, surely must be God's messenger, you know, God's activity. And therefore, when he comes, he converses with Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you must be sent by God because you are performing all these things. And that's how the conversation begins, and then John is trying to explore in this chapter. As the conversation begins, Jesus invites not only him, probably the scenario is he's looking at the crowd and then John is inviting that unless one is born again, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The conversation slowly moves to this concept of eternal life, how you can get into eternal life, that, you know, the only process is you need to be born again. And this conversation goes on further, and our text today's gospel reading talks about it, saying that Jesus, in that conversation, adapts one of the Old Testament reading and interprets that reading in his own context. And what is that Old Testament reading? It is of a situation where people on their way to redemption, salvation, liberation, whatever you want to call, as they were in the desert, they got frustrated because they thought God is going to lead them in a successful way. But they are in a situation, they are unable to get the food that they wanted. Bible says they were getting manna, but they were not fully happy. So they complained against God, and the writer says, as the consequence of their complaint, there were snakes sent by God, and they were bitten, and some died. As they encountered this dangerous, life-threatening situation, they returned to their leader Moses, asking him, can you please pray for us so that God will forgive us, and then our lives will be restored. So Moses prays, and God says, now you need to erect a bronze serpent pole and tell people to look at the serpent, look at this pole, and as they look at that pole, those who are bitten will be healed. It sounds, I don't know how it sounds for you, but I felt like it's a terrible instruction by God. What has been traumatic for us, God is asking us to look, or in that situation, asking them to look at the same instance so that they can be healed. The serpent that bit them, which actually was terrorizing them, God is asking them to look at that serpent, the same traumatic event, so that they can be healed. This passage has been adapted in John, and Jesus in John is saying, in similar way, Jesus will be exalted or lifted high, and those who believe in him will have eternal life. Now, in the Old Testament, you see and then you get cured. Those who are bitten should see and they will get cured. But in the New Testament, there is a tailoring happening, saying that looking at him and those who believe in Jesus, the one who is being lifted up, will have the eternal life or will be saved. Now, as I was reflecting on these passages, especially this idea of erecting the pole or lifting high something, we all see, look around. People try to erect the pole only when there are certain accomplishments. There is a targeted message that has been sent by these eruption of pole. Now, people put flags in front of their house. There are people who try to, go to new places, discover, and they erect a pole and put flags to claim what they are, to claim their achievement. Situations like patriotism, situations like, sending message that who is inside and who is an outsider, who can be part of this, who cannot be part of this. Erection of poles or building of walls or any monuments is sending a message. Those who adhere to these, whatever being erected, they are the insiders. And those who do not are called as an outsider. Similarly, many times, displacing this verse from the passage, many have claimed to personalize their Jesus, like a personalized man. To say that, the moment we believe in Jesus, we are going to be lifted high or we are going to be saved. But here, John has a specific thing to tell within the context. This is not just about Jesus being exalted to the resurrection. This is exactly the way the serpent is being put in the pole. Jesus will be displayed and lifted high so that people can see him. People can see him, and there will be a message that will be sent to those who watch him. And what is that message? Anybody disturbs the so-called status quo will be put to shame. That was the message that Roman Empire sent. And inflict fear so that people will be terrorized and not work against these structural evil. Now for John to look into Jesus has something specific, something deeper. Because Nicodemus comes, he sees, he knows, but the question is, does he believe? During the season of Lent, we all see, or in any season, we see, we know what is happening, but the question is, do we believe? In today's reality, as far as my experience goes, even from the context that I come from, people are encouraged to live in denial. Denial. When something wrong is happening, you deny, no, that's not the thing. When you have evidence to prove what is wrong, people are encouraged to live in denial, to give an alternative perspective. In my country, media is so bombarding that it influences your mind, almost turning a lie into a truth, that you subscribe to that lie as the truth. But Jesus, on the cross, is asking us to gaze at him, so that we can reckon with our structural evil, our participation in the structural evil. Only by reckoning with that we are able to find some kind of salvation and redemption. Many would not like to reckon. In psychoanalysis or in psychology, trauma is seen as a very, powerful moment from which entire life changes. Many want to get healed by trauma. And there are various techniques that have been proposed. But deep down, only way to, to find solution to the trauma is to gaze at that traumatic moment and confront that and overcome from that traumatic moment. Many would like to run away because of various reasons. Probably they might not have supportive system, they do not have that much of energy, or they don't have so much of resources. But Jesus' death on the cross for me, surely, I don't know about you, is a very traumatic moment. But still, we try to look at this cross. We try to look at this cross not just because of the assurance that Jesus has been resurrected, but we try to look at this cross because it is the only way, which Jesus says. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The truth, the way, and the life is to expose the lie in which that we are living, is to expose our participation in these evil ways of, evil structures, subtly or openly. And then by reckoning with that, we are able to overcome these structural evils, not by running away from them. So looking at the cross, or erecting Jesus, or lifting up Jesus high, just like the pole of the serpent pole, is to invite people to reckon in simple words with your sin. Reckon with your sin so that we can be redeemed from our sinful life. This morning I would like to conclude by asking you, once reminding you of the story that I've started. Discipleship, various levels of discipleship might be there. We might see, we might get inspired, and we might want to follow, because what we see might be very attractive. As we follow, we might even grumble. We might get disappointed because this is not what we expected. But discipleship is much deeper. Deeper than seeing and than knowing. Discipleship is about believing. Believing in Jesus is the discipleship that we are reminded during this season of life. Let us look to God and pray. God of all grace, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom we look up to. He does not lie to us of a false life, of a successful life, but indeed he does manifest a faithful life. Faithful that looks for life, affirmation of life, not a denial of life. Thank you for this love that you have shared to us in Jesus' name.